Let's get in the Word then. You ready? Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I believe God's going to speak to some people tonight. Have you got it? Verse number 7, should I ever get there. It says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We've been teaching on faith on Thursday nights. And in particular, we've been on a series about walking by faith. And we've been recognizing that God's called us to great calls. Amen? He's called us to do things. But whatever God calls you to do, it's going to require strength, resources, and wisdom above what we have. Whatever God calls you to do, He's going to want you to learn how to access heavenly provision and power to do it. And the only thing that God's given us to access heavenly provision and power, wisdom and strength, right, is faith. Faith has the ability to get hold of what God has promised and bring it into manifestation in your life. And to briefly explain what faith is basically believing what God's already put in His Word. Amen? Faith is believing what God has given you a promise in the Word, that He's a God that cannot lie. And if we will speak His promise, stand against all opposing arguments, especially those that want to bombard your mind, and we will stand and speak that promise, we will see that promise manifest. Because God is our backup. He is our backup in everything He's called us to do. We're going to see that as I'm already getting ahead of myself tonight. But God is the one who says, if you'll do what I call you to do, you'll just believe my word, you will do the impossible. You will do what other people can't do, but you have to believe what I promised. Now, the promise may come through the Word, the Scriptures. Or you may receive a visitation of God or a word from God where He tells you to do something. Are you following me? That He will validate or back up with the Word. Regardless, faith is believing what God's told you to do. And what He's promised you that you possess. And here it says we are to walk by faith. Walking is man's mode of transportation to get from one place to another. God told Israel not to trust in chariots, not to trust in horses. Are you following me? Now, I believe that was so they would be totally dependent upon God's supply and protection. But also, those represent a form of transportation outside of what God's gifted man with Himself. Did you follow me? You can take a horse somewhere, you can take a chariot somewhere, but God says you have the ability to walk. And God says you are to be walking by faith. Now, that doesn't mean you can't ride a horse. Jesus rode a horse. You follow me? But we're to be trusting in God's, how can I say this properly? His impartation in our life to fulfill His calling on our life. Yes. And what we started talking about regarding walking is science has already understood for many years that walking is actually a series of controlled falls. Remember this? That what you do when you go to walk by faith, you start from a balanced position and you intentionally lift one foot, shift your center of gravity out over your other foot, and you begin to fall, trusting that you have the ability within the other leg to catch you. That's why if somebody catches out of the foot, you go, you know, face down. Well, walking by faith is that you shift your position of what you think is safety in life. You know, your own ability to catch you, your own ability to supply. And you say, God, I'm trusting you in this situation. And you shift from your balanced position of safety out to a place, if God didn't catch you, it could do you damage. Did you follow me? I mean, when you started tithing, it was a step of faith. You said, God, I trust if I tithe, you'll supply more for my life than that 10% supplies for me. You follow me? When you start trusting God for healing, you're saying, God, I trust you to do more for my body for healing me than the doctors can do. whatever form you're going to step out and follow God, it's going to require you trusting Him to catch you in some fashion. And He's a God that never misses catching you. It amazes me. The Word of God says that God understands, you know, that you have needs in your life. You need food, you need clothing, you need shelter. How all these cultures and societies in the world, for the most part, most of them people are supplied for. I mean, they're eating. They have shelter, they have clothing. It just amazes me how faithful God is in just that area. And those aren't even believers. Think what God wants to do in the life of somebody that will believe His Word. He wants you to be able to jump off the cliff and know He's going to catch you. And when God calls you to something, if it's something, you know, in line with a high calling, there will be jumping off cliff moments. He might not tell you to quit your job, but He'll tell you in some areas, trust me on this one. Just trust me. And as you step out trusting God, amen, and the enemy's trying to confront that, you will see supernatural manifestation in your life. And I watched it happen for every year since I've been saved. God come through as I would follow Him and believe Him at His Word. So we are to be those that walk by faith. We're to live in this faith adventure. You follow me? It's an adventure. And in doing so, we get to step into and experience the supernatural power of God. Now, I want to go through some scriptures again tonight like we did last week, looking at passages that deal with walking, and we want a time to faith. Now, we know we're to walk by faith. Because God would never have you walk by unbelief. I mean, how else would we walk? You think God's going to tell you to walk and not believe what He said? He's called you to fulfill a call and you don't have to believe the Bible? You don't have to believe His instruction for you. You don't have to seek Him out for wisdom or strength or provision. Whatever we do, wherever we go, we are to be trusting God at His Word. So we should be walking, living, operating by faith. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 2. Last week we went through the Psalms and the Proverbs. We're going to start in the Prophets. Tonight, Isaiah chapter 2, let's start at verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Here we see, I believe, God's plan for revival is to bring in His harvest. Amen? And it says in verse 3, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways. God wants to teach us His ways. His ways represent His spiritual principles. The way the kingdom of God operates. He wants to teach us faith. He wants to teach us seed time and harvest. He wants to teach us the power of love. Amen? He wants to teach us how to access His blessing. So it says, we will go to the mountain. We'll go to the high place where God's instructing us at a high level. I don't want any valley teaching. I want mountaintop teaching. I don't want survivalist teaching. I want overcoming instruction. That's what mountaintop teaching is about. Not just hanging on, but overcoming. He says, He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word from the Lord from Jerusalem. It says He will teach us His ways and we will walk in His paths. You cannot fulfill the path God has for you without walking by faith. Did you follow me? And you can't walk by faith beyond the level you've been willing to be taught. We have a problem in the church today. Too many Christians believe they already understand all of God's ways. They believe they already have all spiritual knowledge and understanding. Amen? I mean, they have to. They've been going to church for 20 years. Certainly I know everything there is to know about God. If we understood all of God's ways, if we understood everything the Word of God has to teach us about how God operates, we would all be walking on water, raising the dead. Are you following me? And turning water into grape juice. Amen. Let's make it clear. We would all be doing the supernatural. We would be doing the greater works. Because Jesus was the full embodiment of walking by faith. He had full understanding of the ways of God. If we knew what Jesus knew, we would know all the ways of God. We would be doing what He did. So since we're not fully doing yet what He did, there's probably room for us to gain knowledge. We should be on a lifetime search for the wisdom of God, for the knowledge of the kingdom. Paul said in Ephesians 1, he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might know the hope of your calling, amen, and the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. If you want to fulfill your calling, you must know His ways, which means your eyes must be opened. We're here to learn the ways of God. We're here to receive instruction versus just put in our time. You know, when I was in, you know, the world employment situation, well, even here, if I had somebody working for me, I wanted somebody that came in and said, teach me how to do the job. How can I do this job? How can I do it better? What would you have me do above what I'm doing now? I wanted somebody that really had a desire to excel in the job. Yeah. But somebody just punched the clock. I had a few of those. I had people came and worked for me. Engineers worked for me, though. They were just clock punchers. And all they want to know is how little could they input and still get paid and keep their job and extract as much out of the company as they could. And if the company would let me, I'd have fired them. But there were steps you had to go through to do that. It's no fun managing someone who has no desire to excel in the position. And think about God and all these people He's given opportunities to step into the supernatural, and how few have a desire to learn about it, to do it better, to be trained in it. Amen? God's looking for students of the kingdom of God. Years ago, I've preached this many times. When I was growing up as a kid, I grew up in Kansas. And in Kansas, they always taught about the pioneers. You know, the pioneers came out in the covered wagons. They settled Kansas. The homesteaders came in. And it was just in me. I wanted to be a pioneer. I wanted to be a pioneer. And I thought, someday I'll be a pioneer, you know, when I'm little. And I start growing up and realize everything's been discovered. And it's all been settled. You know, there's nothing. There's no more homesteading, no more room, you know, land to go settle in. Then I remember when Star Trek came out back in, I believe, 1966. A 5-year mission to explore new worlds. I thought, I'll become an astronaut. I'll explore outer space. Amen. Live long and prosper. I can do that. And then I'd watch the astronaut training on TV, and they'd show me that little thing that went like, woo, woo, you know, that centrifuge. And I realized I couldn't ride the cup and saucer at the fair without throwing up. I knew I'd never pass that test, so I gave up that desire. And I was crushed because I couldn't become a pioneer. And I won't go through all the story of different areas I wanted, you know, be underwater and all the stuff I wanted to do to explore. And then, probably 20 years ago, I was reading Ezekiel 47 about the river of God. And had basically a visitation of God. I mean, He just came and started talking to me. And He says, this is the river I'm pouring out in the end times. And He says, that desire to be a pioneer I put in you when you were a kid. And he says, if you will allow me, I will instruct you to pioneer the river of God in the end times. So thank you, Jesus. All I got to do is get in the Word, and God will show me how to explore the river. And the Lord said, I'm going to pour out stuff and reveal stuff in the end times no human being has ever known before. Can you grasp that? God, to bring the glory in His church, He's got to teach the people of God things they've never known before. And somebody has to be on the leading edge of that revelation discovery. And God said, if you will go after me, I will put you on that leading edge and you will be a pioneer of revelation of the Word of God. Now, I know that sounds pompous and prideful. I'm just telling what God told me. And that's been 20 years ago and I've watched it happen. I watched Him just reveal stuff out of the Word. Amen. That, you know, people still think you're crazy because you preach it. Hallelujah. We are to be hungry to discover the things of the kingdom. Because the more we understand the kingdom, the more the power of God we can operate in. The more we'll become like Jesus in our understanding and operation because He allowed Himself to be taught out of the Word of God. Amen. I mean, we have one instance of Jesus talked about from the time He's a baby till the time He's 30 years old. One instance. And where was He? He was at the feet of the teachers learning about the kingdom of God. Amen? And already had the revelation that God was His personal Father. Hallelujah. We have a right to have God teach us as well. So it says here, you'll only access the paths of God to the level you walk by faith. And you'll only walk by faith to the level you'll be taught God's ways. That you're willing to lay down natural mindedness and pick up spiritual mindedness. Did you follow me? I mean, the scriptures say we're to be spiritually minded, right? What does that mean? That your mind just all of a sudden zaps over into la-la land? Well, that can happen because I've been there. Amen is a good place to be. That's not being spiritually minded. To be spiritually minded means you've allowed the Word of God to so penetrate your thinking and dominate your imagination that you think in terms of spiritual truths more than you think in terms of natural truths. We had a young man that came in the shop today and his knee had been bothering him for some time. Do you know how long? Since last Friday it was hurting. And had an MRI done and everything. And he said, will you pray for me? I walk and lay hands on his knee and I'm thinking, you know, this looks totally crazy. Here's a grown man putting his hand on a grown man's knee, believing that something instantaneously supernatural is going to happen in the leg. How ludicrous can you get? I mean, hearing this, you know, this voice, but I thought, God, you've already shown yourself to be a God of integrity in the past. I'm doing what your word says to do. And I believe in spiritual power more than I believe in natural facts. Knee be healed and pain free. And he was kicking everything. He's a karate guy doing stuff he hadn't done ever, you know, since he got hurt. Pain free. We have to believe in a higher level of power and understanding. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. Well, let's read verse 4 and we'll get to that. And he shall judge among the nations and rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This is talking about when the glory really kicks in. Amen. Verse 5. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now, what have we already discovered that walking refers to? Walking by faith. So we could put in here, let us walk by faith in the light or the revelation God's given us. So when God gives you revelation of something, it's going to require faith to walk in it. In most cases. Now understand, if you're praying, you know, God, show me, you know, where I left my car keys, and He shows you the light where the car keys are, it doesn't take any faith to go get them. Maybe a little bit. The faith was where you prayed to God where to find the keys in the first place. But usually when God gives you a revelation, when He shows you something, it will take your faith to latch a hold of that. Amen. When God reveals to you He's the healer God, it'll take your faith to latch a hold of that. When He says He's the God that can bless your children and your marriage, it takes your faith to latch a hold of that and step out on it. You know, we did a marriage conference here a few weeks ago, and on the five love languages. And part of it, if you're going to operate in trying to bless your spouse, demonstrate to your spouse you love them, it's going to require you as a person, if you want to demonstrate to your spouse you love it, it's going to require you to invest something of yourself on behalf of your spouse. And if you've had a cantankerous spouse, it's going to require you stepping and risking that investment of yourself and your resources in an act of love that you don't know if it's going to be paid back or not. I mean, if you've got a spouse that's, you know, unpredictable, and you go get the chocolates and the roses, and that night you bring them home and they take the roses and they break them and have them, throw them on the floor and says, I don't even like flowers, and you got the wrong chocolate, you just invest all that effort of love with no apparent payback at that moment. But God gave you the revelation to love your spouse. Faith is willing to step out on a revelation and invest in the revelation, believing supernatural love or power is going to come back on that investment on behalf of what God gave you illumination to. Did you follow that? Don't ask me to repeat it. Whatever God shows you is going to require you stretch into it by faith. See, when we're asking God, oh God, please show me your plan for my life. Oh God, please show me what you'd have me do. You don't know what you're asking. It's a good thing you're doing, but it's going to be more than just God show you. Okay, I just want you to, you know, here's $1 million, go open up a business. He's going to show you what He wants you to do through illumination, and then you'll have to walk by faith into it. Because God wants you to believe what He promised above what you're seeing. And whatever illumination God gives you, it's always going to run contrary to the natural. If God's only going to show us natural information, why would we need Him? He's going to show you stuff that runs contrary to the natural. Amen? Like His healing power. Like His ability to multiply seed. Like the power of His love to do the supernatural in your life. So when you're saying, God, show me your path, God's saying, okay, I've got to get you some illumination. But when I get you the illumination, now you've got to walk it out. Now you have to be willing to reprioritize your life and stretch into what I'm calling you to do. Which right there is a big stretch of faith anyway. I feel like I need to go this direction for just a minute. When you got saved, you gave your life to Jesus. You were bought with a price. You now belong to Him. Your life's not your own. But He still has us give it to Him, back to Him on a voluntary basis. Satan takes people captive. God never does. He says, you belong to me. Now how much of your life will you give to me? Do you follow me? And the level you will take of your time and your life and the activities maybe you wanted to do before to invest in going after the things of God all represent a faith stretch. When I got saved, God dropped in me. I needed to know as much about His Word as I could find out. That if I was going to come to know God, I needed to read the Bible. And I took all my activities, for the most part, almost all of my hobbies, all of my things I like to do, shut off the TV, quit watching the ball games, and I just read the Word. Word, Word, Word. What was I doing? God gave me an illumination of the need to read the Word. So I said, God, I trust You enough, even newly saved, that if I will set aside my other things I normally do in life and read the Word, it'll pay off for me in the long run. And of course it has. But it took me trusting Him to invest my time to do so. Most people recognize they have as much of Jesus as they want to have. Or they recognize there's more of God they could have. You ask the average Christian, that really is evangelical, how much they pray, and their answer is going to be not enough. You know, I pray this much, but I like to pray this much. I really know I should be praying this much. I should have this much word time. I wish I could be. But you know what happens? When the opportunity arises to do something else that's not spiritual, they envision the payback in doing the natural above doing the spiritual. So they invest their time in the natural. Did you follow me? Did anybody follow me? They believe to watch the ball game would pay more than getting in the Word. Now, don't be getting mad at me. I still know Kentucky's number one. Whatever ball game, you follow me? They believe that, you know, getting the extra 3-hour nap would be more valuable than 30 minutes in the Word. So what they do is they've received a revelation that they need more of God, but they don't have yet the faith that their investment in the kingdom will pay more than their investment in world activity. Keep your toes out there now. When God reveals to you opportunity, He puts it in our hands to decide how much that opportunity we will step into. We choose how much of our time we will really believe we want to invest in God's system and how much we think it'll pay off. You know, we have 120 years that God said in His Word we have available to us. Amen? Not many people are making it to 120. But potentially 120. And sooner or later, your 120 years is going to be up. And will you have wanted to watch every Andy Griffith show 12 times? You follow me? And all the other TV shows and entertainment that go with it. And take that to heaven. Would you rather have the Word of God that you spent hour after hour in? That's transformed your life. We have to be willing to reprioritize our time as a step of faith to walk by faith, trusting God is going to pay off in our future. And the devil is a master of saying what you want to do right now in the flesh is of more value to you than what you need to do in the spirit. Illumination brings opportunity to step. And we choose how much of God we're going to step into. Amen? Walk in the illumination God gives you. Isaiah chapter 9. And we can, you know, we've got message after message out there on what is required to operate in faith, what it takes to speak in faith, amen. But it all comes down to, do you even want to live by faith? How much of your life do you want to invest in living by faith? How much do you want to stretch into the supernatural? Or how much do you want to, when you get to heaven, God say, well, you made it. I don't want to slip in. I want when I get there, they know my name. You follow me? Do you believe they knew Paul's name when he got to heaven? Oh yeah, Peter's name. Amen, Barnabas, they knew those names. I want to know my name. Whether it's some mighty ministry calling or not, it doesn't have to be a ministry calling. It just has to be you fulfill what God assigned you to do. They're going to know your name. There'll be an anointing on your life for that assignment. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Oh, glory to God. The people that did walk in darkness have seen a great light. Now, it's amazing how many people that live in darkness, when you start talking about living by faith, want to accuse you of walking by blind faith. Yeah, they're the ones in the darkness. Has anybody ever heard that term, you're walking by blind faith? I'm not walking by blind faith. I'm walking by the illumination of God. You're blind to it because you're in darkness, but I have the Word of God open to me. I understand what the book promises. So I'm not the one in blindness. You're the one in blindness. Faith is not blind. But faith sees what is not seen to the natural eye. We look not at the things which are seen, right? 2 Corinthians 4:18, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, subject to change, but the things which are not seen are eternal, established in the heavens. Faith has illumination brought to it that it sees supernatural above the natural world results available to it. And recognize if it'll operate in the ways of God, it will see the results of the kingdom come to pass. Did you follow me? You know, some people, when you start talking about living by faith, they say, well, you're just not being reasonable. Understand, I'm an engineer. I'm not in engineering right now. Well, I'm always in engineering. But I'll always be an engineer. Engineer is not necessarily a degree. It's a mindset. It's a way you think. Amen? How can you take things apart and put them back together? How can you improve things? How can you repair things? That's the engineering mindset. And a lot of guys never got the degree, but they have engineering mindsets. I am as logical as you can get. Did you follow me? I mean, when I'm a kid, my hero was Spock. Because the Vulcans, they had learned to subdue their emotions and they operated by 100% logic. Yes, Captain, the odds of us surviving this attack are 1,403,000 to 2. Amen? I loved it. Praise God, I love those odds. I play words with friends by percentages. I know how many letters are left of each one and what the odds of drawing that letter are before I ever draw my rag. Amen? Praise you, Jesus. Logic. And when you get saved and you start living by faith, people say, well, you're just not being logical. Oh, I'm being very logical. You follow me? But I'm applying my logic to a higher level of understanding. Let me think of a good example to bring about this point I want to make. Give me just a minute here. If you're asked to do something, here we go. Did you ever see the show Let's Make a Deal? And you're up there and you're trying to decide whether it's curtain number one, number two, or number three. You follow me? And, you know, somehow they let you know that behind curtain number two is the grand prize. And you choose curtain number one. And it's going to be logical, the grand prize is behind curtain number two. You follow me? But you had additional knowledge somebody snuck to you that behind curtain number one was the grand prize times three. It was their once-in-a-lifetime super-duper prize that if you choose curtain one, you really had the winner. Now, if you didn't know that, you would have chose curtain two and got the grand prize. But because you had additional knowledge came to you from an outside source, you chose curtain number one. You were actually being logical, even though it looked like you were being illogical. Did you follow me? I'm trying to make a point here. Walking by the Spirit and walking by faith is not the absence of logic. It's the application of logic on additional information. And a higher level of information. I will never be illogical. You follow me? I'm not an illogical type person. You are not an illogical type person. Most of the time. Trying not to be gender specific or nothing like that. You're logical. You do what you think is the best decision to make in most cases. But you may be making the decision on faulty or a lack of information. Did you follow me on that? You may be making the decision on a lack of information or even faulty information. And when you have the knowledge of the Word of God, you have the highest level of information available. You have a serious set of spiritual laws available to you that supersede all natural laws. And if you'll operate by the ways or principles of the kingdom of God, you can see supernatural power released, supernatural results take place. And to you, it will be naturally, it will be logical. See, 30 years ago, I wasn't saved. So the thought that somebody would come up to me and say, "Will you lay your hands on my head? I've got this pain on my body. Will you pray healing for me?" I just thought, that's the most stupid, ridiculous thing I ever heard. Did you follow me? I don't thought they were crazy. But you know what? It's logical to me now. Because I've been I've had enough time in the Word of God that I've seen it promised. I've been enough time in services activating the power that I've witnessed it take place. It has created a spiritual mindedness within me that now the supernatural has become logical. And to become spiritually minded, all it means is now the kingdom of God is logical to you. It's become more real to you than the natural. Or as real, more dependable than the natural, and you've experienced so much of its manifestation, you're willing to stretch out and step out in the supernatural, believing it will bring you kingdom results. It is logical for me to tithe. It is logical for me to sow big seed. You follow me? Because every time God's instructed me to sow a big seed, I've seen big results. Every time. Now, understand, I've sown seed that, you know, haven't seen results other than an accumulated result over time. But anytime God said, "I want you to sow that seed for a specific purpose," I've seen the results almost immediately in every case. Are you following me? So it's logical if God tells me to sow something. How quick can I get it in the ground? How quick can we see this come to pass? Because I know I got a word from God. It's now logical for me to do it. And I don't care how valuable that piece was to me, that item. Let's sow it now. Amen. And a bunch of you know what I'm talking about. It's logical for me. Then when the devil's, you know, trying to attack my back, I jump up and run around and scream I'm healed. It's logical to me when the migraines hit me to slam my head on the dash and say, "You can't stay. I'm the healed." You follow me? It became logical. Because the Word of God says that faith without works is dead, being alone. Faith is not illogical. It's a higher level of logic application. Because it's dependent or based on a higher level of understanding. What is illogical? Is that once you've been illuminated, you still act like you're in darkness. What is, I don't want to use the word pathetic because I don't want to sound like I'm attacking anybody, but what is ridiculous for Christians is to have all the capacity of the Word of God and the power of God available and never access any of it. That's what's illogical. Then when the God that you're... I mean, let's talk about illogical for just a minute. I can see we're going down this vein for a little bit. What's illogical is to believe, I mean to the world, that 2,000 years ago a man was born of a virgin. It's illogical. They don't understand it. They're in darkness. They don't understand your virgin birth thing. It's real to you. Oh, you've been taught it all your life. It's become part of how you think. But it's not logical to those in darkness. that he intentionally went to the cross, was beaten beyond recognition, died for your sins, shed his blood for your forgiveness, and then 3 days later he rose from the dead by faith in his own declaration. That's illogical. And that all you have to do is say, Jesus, I believe in your sacrifice. Come into my heart, forgive me my sins, and birth me into your kingdom. Do you know how illogical that is to those in darkness? That they know how you were in the past. They know rascal's a good enough word. Player, I was thinking of player. They knew what a clown you were in the world. And now you stand up and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God's forgiven my sins, and I'm made in God's image. They think you have gone over the edge. Did you go over the edge? Absolutely. You jumped right off the edge into the arms of Jesus. But you're not illogical. You're applying logic to a higher level of understanding. So now you believe in a virgin birth. All I'm talking about now is take it further and go into believing God for divine healing, divine health, supernatural increase, the love of God in your life, walking in the power of God, manifesting the visible, tangible glory of God. These are all promised in the Word of God. Now see, I almost lost some people right there. Tangible glory. You know why you don't believe in the tangible glory of God? Maybe I'm talking to somebody by CD. Because you've not yet witnessed it, because it's not yet fully manifested on the planet. That doesn't mean it's not promised. There was a day when no virgin had had a baby. But it was promised it would come to pass in Isaiah 14. And that day came into manifestation. There's coming a day that the church is going to manifest the visible glory of God. But it's going to require people that so get into this kingdom lifestyle, it becomes reasonable and logical to them. I really expect in services and all-night prayer or whatever time, I really expect the glory to fill this place. I really expect it. That people will shine. I saw it one time in the hands of Christian Harfouche. I watched him one time as he went to pray for a guy. This guy that he prayed for turned over his hands, and above his hands was a ball of like indigo violet light. Anybody else see that? Anybody else in that service? In Lexington? I watched it. This guy had light, balls of light above his hands. The glory. And I'm expecting it to fill sanctuaries. We've heard reports of churches being on fire, but they're not burning and there's no smoke. You know, the burning bush type things. I believe all that. I was in my office earlier tonight and I was moving some books around and ran across a book by Mel Torrey. Rushing Mighty Wind. Anybody ever read Rushing Mighty Wind? Talk about miracles of God that took place in this Indonesian church. This community that just, they got revived, went after God, and they were being persecuted, and miracle after miracle was taking place. They had a whole group walk across a raging river at flood stage. Walk across, they said, Jesus walked on water. They were being followed, going to be killed. And they said, we got to get across this river. And they said, Jesus walked on water. They just jumped out in faith and walked right across it. And the ones that were pursuing them tried to do it and drowned. Just like the Red Sea. I can't believe all that. I know, so it won't be logical for you to step into it. Those who let the Word of God permeate their thinking, the supernatural becomes logical. No plague nor calamity shall come near my dwelling. I don't have to get sick anymore. That becomes logical. Did you follow me? I'll never be broke another day in my life. That becomes logical. God's supernatural supply. We have a right to live in this faith experience. But you have to be willing to go after it. Because God will not shove you into it. Amen? Are you still with me? Isaiah chapter 30. I Well, I thought we'd make it through the prophets tonight. We may not make it through Isaiah. That's okay. I'm in no hurry for us to get out of teaching faith. I wanted to become so viable to us, so real to us, that we shift our priorities towards spiritual pursuits. If UK wins the national championship this year, they got to start all over again next year. If you'll invest your time in the Word of God, you get to keep eternally what you invest in the kingdom. God's banners stay with you. Amen. Isaiah chapter 30. Let's go to verse number 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. In other words, the enemy's going to try to attack you, but God will have a teacher there for you. Did you follow me? Understand, God's not giving you adversity, but he's going to lead you down a path the enemy's going to try to stop you from going down. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Verse 21. And thine eyes shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you shall turn to the right hand and when you shall turn to the left. You shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. God wants to give you a direction to walk down. For years I've tried to make this point clear to those that want to enter into revival. To enter into revival, there will be an exchange of your lifetime goals that you've established for the goals God establishes. My goals way back were to be a mother IBM for life, buy a farm, raise some cows and horses, amen, chickens, have me some fresh eggs, marry, have some kids, and live on the farm, work the farm while I had all these plans. And be next to water so I could fish all the time. We tried it. We tried to find a place on the water. Amen. Couldn't sell our house. Couldn't find a place. We tried everything we could to fulfill those goals. And then God shifted them. And I said, you don't have time to fish. So don't even try to move next to the water. You don't have time to take care of a farm. So don't try to find any land. You follow me? Get you a place with not too big a garage where you're not so caught up in projects and seek me. And God shifted my priorities. And I'm telling you, he will shift your goals. He will take the things you thought you were going to do in life because they were going to produce anything anyway than, some personal fulfillment because it's what you wanted to do. And God's going to bring you down a path he's going to illuminate before you that's going to bring you permanent fulfillment. And kingdom rewards. And God's going to say, quit establishing your own plan. Quit establishing your own path. And let me guide you down the path I have for you. And many times that path, he may not show you what's at the end. He's never shown me the end of my path. Never. Never. I'm still waiting. Well, he has. It's a water tower full of glory opening up in revival. But I haven't seen any details. You follow me? So what's he do? He shows me every day, or maybe a year in advance, what I'm to be doing during that time, just to keep me walking toward the goal. 2 years ago, we had that visitation, that vision where Jesus said, you're on track for the glory. Don't get off track. In other words, for 28 years, I've had you on this path. You're getting close. It's close. Don't get off track. Amen. Don't get caught up trying to make your own future plans. Find out what God would have you to do today and tomorrow. Amen. And go from there. He will open up the rest. But it says here, you'll hear a voice behind you. I want to know, when you get on path for what God's told you to do, He's behind you. Amen? Have you ever heard that term, I'm behind you? You know, you're trying to get your kid to do something. I'm behind you. Just go, I'm behind you. In other words, if you start to fall, I'll catch you. And there's God behind us, directing us, ready to support, supply, and even at times carry us into destiny. Remember the footsteps in the sand. There are times you just have to trust God to carry you. But He's going to carry you the direction He wants you to go. Stay in faith. Isaiah chapter 35. Oh, I don't have time for that one. Isaiah 40. Have you got it? Verse 31. Well, let's back up. Verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Walking by faith, you don't have to worry about fainting. But it says the youth. Now this doesn't make sense. It's not logical. This is not a logical verse. Just not logical. Everybody knows the youth can outrun and outlast the old ones. Right? I mean, in most cases, I know when I was 20, I could run a whole lot further than I can right now. Unless the anointing comes on me. Still waiting on that one. I could jump a whole lot higher. Amen. Had more endurance when I was 20 than, you know, at my current age, which is a couple years older. And this is not a logical passage. The youth shall faint. Amen. Let me read it again. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. That's not talking about age. It's talking about experience. You follow me? It's talking about young in spirit. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Amen. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The experienced, I don't want to use the word older. The experienced have learned to wait before they walk. The young just want to jump out and do something. And those experienced have learned how they need God's sustenance and strength and wisdom before they jump out and try to do. Did you follow me? If you're going to walk by faith, you'll have to learn how to wait by faith. You'll have to learn how just to spend time with God and have Him refresh you. You'll have to learn how to pray in tongues for extended amounts of times for God to recharge you. That's part of waiting. Praying in the Holy Ghost is part of waiting. How to just camp out with God to have Him inspire you. It says in Acts chapter 3 that the heavens are going to retain Jesus until the time of reformation comes. From the presence of the Lord, right? Times are refreshing for the presence of the Lord. God's presence refreshes. And more so in these end times. And those that have learned how to walk by faith, where they don't grow weary, have learned how to take time in between the steps to wait on God to refuel, to refresh, to re-strengthen. Amen? You cannot walk by faith further than your encounters with God will take you. You can't walk by faith by your own willpower. You can't walk by faith by your own ability. You walk by faith fueled and empowered out of your time with God. So you start to wait and God gives you revelation. How to do whatever. Whatever you're to do. When to do whatever. And as you wait on God, we'll say, okay, now go out and do. One of the mistakes we make in revival as faith people is we get direction from God and we want to go accomplish it. And sometimes there's a fueling necessary before you go do that. You know, Patty and I have been invited to go to Hawaii next January with Pastor Bob and Debbie Martin. Pastors Bob and Debbie. They're going out there for their 40th wedding anniversary. Yeah, 40th wedding anniversary. And they've invited us to go with them. We're honored. Amen. And so we will be taking a jet. I'm not riding a motorcycle. Taking a jet to Hawaii. And my hope is before they take off, I'm sure we'll fly from Lexington to Houston, Houston to wherever, you know, chances are. When they load up that 747 or whatever they fly now, and they're about to make that, what is it, 8-hour, 9-hour flight to Hawaii, I really hope they fuel it up first. I really don't want them to get over the, you know, the Pacific somewhere. You know, nowadays when you're flying, Patty doesn't much like flying because now they show you on the TV screen where you're at, your plane is. So when you're flying over, you know, the continental United States, they'll show you, okay, you're flying over the Grand Canyon, you're flying over the Rockies, you're flying over this city, you know, there's Denver, whatever. And when you get over ocean, all it shows is blue underneath. They'll show you a plane with blue underneath it. And that's when she starts to go, hyperventilate, you know. I really hope when we get over the Pacific, they don't say, oh, it comes over the intercom system. We're sorry to tell everybody, but we forgot to fuel the plane before we take off. Please put on your life jacket, you know, stick your head between your legs. We'll stop it right there. Prepare for a crash landing. I want to know they fueled it up. And we got too many people want to fly with God and not fueling first. Fuel up every opportunity you get. Amen? Better to have too much fuel that they have to dump than not have enough and you get dumped. Walking by faith. This is to be a supernatural life. Your life should be one miracle encounter with God after another. One divine appointment day after day that every day you can't wait to get up because you don't know what God's going to bring into your life out of that spirit realm that day. Can you imagine? I'm talking about getting up the alarm clock doesn't have to go off. You get up at your appointed time to pray. It's like, glory to God, I'm going to meet with God. I can't wait to see what He's going to tell me today. Let me throw this out. What if I was to tell you that God gave me a word that everybody that gets up tomorrow morning at 3:30, you're going to have a personal visitation of Jesus? Now, He didn't tell me that, so don't get too excited. I mean, if I told you, and hopefully you guys trust my integrity, that if I say God said, you would trust me that maybe I heard God. I understand I can miss it, but hopefully I hadn't. Like tomorrow night, I believe we're going to step straight into it tomorrow night. If I said, the Lord said, everybody that would get up at 3:30, if I said, God said, everybody that's up at 3:30, you're going to have a personal visitation of Jesus. He's going to give you personal instruction for life. How many would make that appointment? We'd all make it. Hopefully. I mean, personal encounter. He's going to come in the house and talk to you. You're going to get up. I believe we're moving to that area where every time you get up for prayer, God's going to tell you something. But it's a faith connection. I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12. He said this. He says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord Jesus. I will come. I will have visions. I will have revelations. I speak that all the time. I'm going to have encounters with God. The Lord knows His sheep and His sheep know His voice. Amen. The voice of a stranger they'll not follow. I believe that. So we act on it. We'll get up in the middle of the night in a moment because it might be God wants to tell us something. I mean, I believe a lot of times when we can't sleep in the middle of the night, it's not because of you have insomnia. It's because you have an assignment. God wants to get something to you. Well, we're so caught up in logical reasoning, I need my beauty sleep. You follow me? If I don't get my 8 hours, I'm a mess. What scripture is that one? Where's the verse that says if you don't get an hour of sleep, you are unbearable the next day? It's not in there. It says He'll give His beloved rest, His sweet sleep, right? It doesn't say whether it's 2 hours or 8 hours or 10 hours. It just says God will give you rest. I believe at all-night prayer, we will get more rest out of 4 hours sleep praying than we will out of 8 hours not praying. I believe that. And be in the Holy Ghost the next day too. But we miss opportunities to get up and pray because, well, I need my sleep. Well, look, we're out of time tonight. Let's see how to close this out tonight. Did you get anything out of this? We are those God has honored with the opportunity. It's up to us to step into the realm of the Spirit. How much God do we want? Thank you. Why don't you stand to your feet? Let's worship God here for a minute and just see how He wants to.